When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Okay, raise your hand if you are feeling it. If you are feeling the middle show of the work week, aka the hump show, or just your middle night of the work week. Whew, feeling like it's a long week. I'll just be honest. It does feel like a really long week. The poor Hubs is sick. It's his first time sick in the Northeast. So he's sick and he's nowhere near his family. I asked him on Tuesday evening if he wanted his mommy. And he said, no, I'm not that kind of guy. And I said, oh, well, I'm that kind of girl. When I'm sick, I want my mama. But he's trying to tough it out. Has a sinus infection and is feeling not good at all. Plus, it's freezing outside, which does not help. Anyway, I told him, stay in bed in the morning. I will get home and take care of the canines. So that's kind of been one of our responsibilities that we've had to divvy up is when and how to take care of the pooches, especially since Penny requires some extra care right now. She's slower, but also his dog is a spaz. So you really got opposite ends of the spectrum. And so for that reason, they're a lot to handle. It's funny because, I don't know, about 6 months before we got married, we were talking about how much we loved animals. And because Penny is 14 and obviously is getting older, even before we got married, she had started to slow down significantly. And I said to him, can we get a second dog once Penny is gone and after I am ready? And he said, absolutely. Now that we have two dogs, and one is a spaz and one is high maintenance, just because she's older and has some health challenges, I don't think I need a second dog. I think one is plenty. We also have a cat. So, well, I have a cat, but he's adopted the cat as well. So, yeah, three pets is a lot. So I told him to stay in bed in the morning. I will take care of the animals, and hopefully he is sleeping like a rock. He and I have this in common. I wouldn't say that we bonded over this, but we definitely have in common the hellish challenge of sleeping soundly more than, say, 2 or 3 hours at a time. Sleep is tough for both of us, which is why we're coffee lovers. So there's that connection as well. So yeah, poor guy. I feel badly for him. It's his first time being sick in the Northeast, and yeah, I don't really want to get sick myself, but if that's what it requires for him to feel better, if he can transfer it to me, I'll take it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I know it's not feeling much like spring in many parts of the country, specifically north of the Mason-Dixon line, but when I bought my house in May of 2020, and actually saw it in March was when I first looked at the house, and everything was brown. Everything was dead. A lot of things were covered by snow. And of course, most of the ground was frozen, so there was no thought of flowers at the time. But what I discovered as I went through the calendar year from May of 2020, when I first bought the house, until the following May, there are flowers that bloom 10 months out of the year in my yard. I can't take credit really for them. I've cultivated them, but I did not plant them. The man who owned the house before me was really excited about the yard and flowers and trees and everything else. And so he did a great job planting an incredible, gosh, an incredible bunch of flowers, everything you can imagine. So one flower blooms every year, or excuse me, every month in my yard, and they start in February. And even though it's been cold enough that our snow from last week is not melted and the ground is frozen, somehow the crocuses poke through and make an appearance in mid-February. And I get nervous because I don't want them to freeze to death. No, go back. Go back in the ground. Go back and be warm. But it doesn't matter. They come through anyway. And then when they're snowed on, they kind of fold up and they wait until the snow has passed. And then they poke their pretty purple heads out again. And so I couldn't resist. In addition to clouds, flowers are my favorite photo subjects. And so I did find the first beauties of the year, even though we still have snow on the ground. If you want to see them, they are a gorgeous color of purple. I got to tell you, a bit of an inspiration for my wedding color, actually, which is very similar to that color purple. So check it out on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And on our Facebook page, I'll try to put them up as well. Here's the issue with the Facebook page is that it's not my account, which means it's not on my phone. But maybe I'll see if I can save the photos on this work laptop, which might be against company policy, and then share them on our Facebook page. Anyway, they are the first beauties of the year and the first early signs that spring is still 2 months away, but at least it's only 2 months away. So again, on Twitter, Facebook page two, this is The Hump Show, and you know what that means. You get to ask Amy anything. Now, we obviously do not have producer Jay this week, but Ryan is feeling confident in his ability to ask Amy anything. Creative, intelligent, unique questions. And I don't know if you're taking notes, if you're going to print them out, how you're going to pick them. I have given you a couple of guidelines, but not a lot. I know when Manny filled in a couple months ago and had the chance to do Ask Amy Anything, he hand wrote enough questions to fill an entire front of an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. So we didn't get to them all, but he did run through as many as he possibly could. What will be your mode of preparation?
Oh, I've pre-looked at them already.
Oh, you have?
I have.
All right. Well, there will be more that come in, as I mentioned it on the air.
Some are good. Some are bad.
Oh, no. You're going to ask the bad ones?
No.
Okay.
Some spelling errors here and there,
oh,
but
yes.
It's okay.
Yes, yes, yes. And I will admit that there are times when I cheat. I don't always. I'm not supposed to see the questions ahead of time. I know. But I definitely never know which ones Jay is asking until he actually starts asking. But we did figure out, between Ryan and I, we figured out how to do the bright orange box with the thought bubble as you're considering what to ask me. So look for the bright orange box on either Twitter or Facebook. And then if you want to, I suppose you can talk to Ryan directly, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So now you are primed and ready to participate on this edition of the show. I think we've maintained a fairly high level of productivity since producer Jay went on vacation. I have not heard from him again. I'm sure he's doing great, practicing all of his new healthy habits like hiking volcanoes and such. Anyway, we're missing him, of course, but Ryan's doing a great job. And we have managed so far in 2+ shows to not blow anything up. That's good news. There should still be a show when Jay returns. But if there wasn't, that would be quite the surprise. Could you imagine if he returned and there was no after hours?
Happy birthday.
That's right. Happy birthday. You're out of a job. Oh, that's not funny. I'm sorry. So as we continue through this week, it is the middle show of the work week. I will just say I did not sleep well on Tuesday, so I might be a little loopy. Just take it all with a grain of salt. Nod and smile, if you will. Just nod and smile. The NBA is still on its All-Star break. However, there are some fireworks when it comes to Doc Rivers, one of his former players, and his son, who, I got to tell you, I almost feel like this was staged. Here's the thing. When you work in the media world and in sports broadcasting, but I'm sure it's the same in news, there are producers slash directors and really just content creators who will at times attempt to either incite a riot or create a debate where there really isn't one. So having worked with co-hosts in the past, so 25 plus year career now because I'm old, I have worked with many co-hosts in the past. And we would have producers in pre-show meetings who would like us to debate even if we both agreed, if that makes sense. Now, I feel as though J.J. Redick's comments about Doc Rivers are relatively pointed, but it certainly is convenient when the NBA is still on a hiatus and Doc Rivers has not yet been successful with the Milwaukee Bucks. And you've got his son, who is on the TV set, not to mention a former player, who is willing to take aim at Doc. Right. It felt a little bit contrived to me. But I don't know. I kind of go back and forth. What did you think, Ray?
Same network, just later in the day.
Yeah, exactly. So it just felt a little bit staged. So I'm not sure I'm going to take it all for face value, or in this case, to take it all verbatim. But I do agree, at least on this point, that Doc is a popular target in the NBA. He would have to win another title for people to get off his back. But do you remember what people said about Andy Reid before he won the first of his three Super Bowl titles as a head coach? He has one as an assistant coach, but as a head coach, people said he could not manage the game. He could not manage the clock. He made poor decisions when it came to third down, blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, no one's saying that anymore. Now he's one of the best coaches in the NFL. The ring is the thing. The bling changes everything. If Doc Rivers were to win another title, and it's funny how people poo-poo the first title because it was so long ago. Oh, that one? Yeah, well, I mean, that roster had two Hall of Famers on it, and it wasn't really Doc, la, 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 la. But it's, as you know, always the coach's fault when things go horribly wrong. In fact, in the same Atlantic division of the NBA, as you know, they still actually do have divisions in the NBA, in the same Atlantic division, we know that the Nets have made a coaching change. Their culture drastically took a right-hand turn going back to late December in a game against Milwaukee, and it only got worse over the ensuing couple months. So they have made a coaching change and booted Jacques Vaughn, who honestly has become the, he's become the whipping boy for the Nets. They had him coach in the bubble as the interim. Then they booted him for Steve Nash. Then they brought him back as the interim head coach again when Nash got fired. And now, unceremoniously, he gets dumped yet again. And so, as I'm thinking about coaching in the NBA and then coaching in the NFL, NHL, there's a fair amount of turnover as well. In Major League Baseball, they're managers, not coaches. But is that the toughest job in sports? Coaching at the pro level? There's zero job security, as in none. There have actually been coaches fired who led their teams to Super Bowls. They didn't win, but led their teams to Super Bowls. Or they did win, and a couple years later, they were out of a gig. It is so, so, so much about what have you done for me lately. And more, ownership and front offices, they're fickle, they're hard to please, and they're unbelievably impatient. Think about the number of veteran coaches that were fired last year in the NBA, including Doc Rivers, but also Monty Williams and Mike Budenholzer. I mean, these are guys who have together quite the track record. These are guys who represent winning traditions. And yet, they couldn't keep jobs much longer than the end of the playoff runs that were below expectations, whether or not the expectations were viable or were accurate. But that's just the NBA. The NFL, what, 25% of the head coaching jobs turn over every year. 25%. Not all eight of those teams are picking number one in the NFL draft. They didn't all have abysmal seasons. And I guess if you listen to fans, half of them would be fired every year. It is a tough job being the coach, the head coach of a pro sports team, whether the NBA or the NFL. And we already have chatter about guys who are on the hot seat for next year. Routinely, there are coaches fired at every level of sports every week. And again, if we're listening to fans, more of them would be fired. Mike Tomlin would have been out of a job 10 years ago. It is a tough job in the sports industry. But is it the toughest? That is our question. My question for you, even as you send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So I will put up a post on our social media, or you can give us a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's our toll-free line. Either way that you want to connect with us, you've got two jobs, and they're not actually that tough. I mean, these are not the toughest jobs in sports. Being a sports radio caller is not the toughest job in sports. Now, being a sports radio host might be. Just kidding. It's not, actually. I mean, it's a job that requires extensive prep and a lot of hours, and in my case, lack of sleep. But it's not a tough job. What are the toughest jobs in sports? You got the phone number again on Twitter, After Hours CBS. You can answer, and then you can also send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Plus, you've got so much room in real estate on our Facebook page. Go ahead and light it up, peeps. The toughest jobs in sports. Now, is coaching tougher than officiating? And I suppose you could take into account the money they're paid, I guess. Or maybe you're not going employee, you're going athlete. Oh. What are the toughest jobs in sports? I'm not sure when this idea came to me, but it fits so perfectly because Doc Rivers is in the news again. That dude has been through the ringer. The championship, it's too old now. People don't remember it. He's to blame for everything. He's even to blame for your sinus infection. All of it is at the feet of Doc Rivers. Is it a tough job to be a commissioner? What are the toughest jobs in sports? We're just getting started. It is the hump show, middle show of the work week. Feeling it. I'm feeling it. I'll raise my hand in a minute. I'm going to need some more coffee. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I have not heard this song in I do not know how long. From the brain of Ryan. It's interesting to get to know producers and then producers who fill in on the show because they get to pick their own music. And sometimes I feel like I learn their personalities just a little bit better based on their music. Ryan, what kind of music do you like?
A bunch of everything. Usually classic rock. alternative.
Interesting. 80s and 90s?
70s, 80s.
Oh, there you go. Okay, you know what I heard? Or actually, I read that 70s wedding style is back. So in 2024, one of the top trends is 70s style for weddings. So we're talking about people who are getting married 20s, 30s, that kind of thing. But disco balls apparently are a big thing this year at receptions.
Those are cool.
I did not have a disco ball in my reception, but we got married in a barn. Well, we got married in a chapel, but we had a reception in a barn, and it was really cool. We had twinkle lights, not disco ball, but either way, tremendous. So yeah, lots of weddings that we have to attend this year. We'll see whether or not any of them are 70s style, but apparently that's one of the top trends right now. I am not trendy. I am the opposite of trendy and the opposite of cool. So we did not do an engagement photo. We did not do an engagement party. We did not do save the dates. We did not do disco balls. Nah, we just sent people invitations and said, hi, we're getting married. Would you like to come? We didn't even do a website. We didn't do a registry. None of that. We are very atypical. We already had two and three of everything. There was no more room for stuff. So instead, people gave us donations toward our honeymoon, which was great. Still coming up. 70 days. And yes, I am counting. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What are the toughest jobs in sports? This is from Lou on Twitter, A-Law Radio, the team doctor. Yeah, he's busy. Depending upon the sport, he definitely is busy. Obviously, when you're talking about a roster as large as an NFL roster, there have to be more than one doctor per team. But they're busy. There's probably one surgeon per team. Or in some cases, if it's a specialty that's required, they will have other surgeons in the area, or the player himself can pick a surgeon. So there's all of that kind of politicking. But as a team doctor, so much falls on you, especially if you're the head guy, because you're the one who has to communicate with the coaches about when and how soon a player can be back on the field, the court, the ice. Ooh, that's a tough one. You get it from all sides, right? Coaches and players want their guy, well, players want to be out there. Coaches want their guys out there. Doctors are responsible, though, because if something goes wrong and an athlete gets re-injured, guess who gets blamed for putting him out there too quickly? I like that answer, Lou. What are the toughest jobs in sports? Lou goes with team doctor. And Ryan is manning our Twitter account for the first time ever. We'll see how this goes. If there's any type of nefarious activity, I'm going to blame Ryan, and he's going to say we got hacked. But I'm going to say Ryan is the one who hacked. Better be careful, Ryan. This could be the toughest job in sports, filling in on After
Social
Hours.
Social media manager.
Oh, yeah. You got to be careful. Although there are some who are extremely sarcastic and like run team accounts, and they're hysterical because sarcasm is my love language. And so I love it when you've got little sniping back and forth from team Twitter accounts. Those are fun. Or team social media. What is the toughest job in sports? That's the question on Twitter, After Hours CBS. And while you are there, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Let's keep Ryan on his toes on his first ever edition of The Hump Show. 855-212-4227. Dan is in Cleveland. Dan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Amy.
Hey.
I was thinking about the toughest job in sports, and as I was holding, I thought about the get-back guy on an NFL sideline. There's some head coaches, I imagine, that would not be a fun job.
But you might get smacked on accident, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, you're just irritating the guy that much more. But what I was really thinking about is how many coaches in pro sports went from coach of the year to fired in a season or two, and Mike Vrabel came to mind. I swear he was coach of the year just a couple seasons ago, and then it's fired. You know, two, three, I don't know what it would be. I'm driving, or else I would look it up. But I think it'd be interesting to look at the list of coaches of the year in the major sports and see how many of those are, you know, how long did they last with that team? Because you know, your welcome could be worn out pretty quickly, just like you said.
Right. Or championship winners, too. I mean, for certain.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, coach a team to a championship, or like you said, even to the Super Bowl, and it's sometimes not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I just wanted it to throw that out there because Mike Vrabel came to mind right away. And you know, I'm from Cleveland. A lot of respect for Mike Tomlin. I mean, thinking that he should get fired in Pittsburgh. I mean, I think anybody outside of Pittsburgh thinks that's nuts. I swear the guy would have a job offer by the time he got to his car.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, there is a lot of fickleness, I guess, is a word for head coaches in pro sports. That is a tough gig.
And certainly impatience as well. Because of the money that owners are spending, they feel entitled to results immediately. And the owners pass it down to the front offices, and the front offices then can make the decisions about coaching. But here's the thing about Mike Tomlin, and I would agree that he would be an upgrade for many teams around the league, except I thought the same thing about Bill Belichick, too. Now, Tomlin's not the same age. He's younger. But he's a different personality, to be sure. But, yeah, I'm really stunned that Vrabel doesn't have a job. Belichick doesn't have a job. I'm surprised at some of these guys that are veterans that are on the outside looking in.
I think a lot of the – with Belichick goes, the players kind of coming out and saying, boy, it was just horror stories, like going into practice. I can't remember which one of the guys it was said he was just sitting in his car, veteran player, and just thinking, man, I don't even want to go in there. And you got to think that owners are, you know, certainly listening to what players are chatting about, saying, boy, I really got old playing for that guy. But, you know, you can't argue with the results for a couple of decades.
You have a high standard and high expectations, and that's how you build a 20-year journey that results in 6 Super Bowl wins. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Dan. Thanks so much for listening.
All right. Take care of me.
Toughest jobs in sports. I don't think he was specifically limiting it to Cleveland head coach. However, Kevin Stefanski just did win the coach of the year. So does that mean he's now on the hot seat? The toughest job in sports, Ryan, what is it?
I'm going to go with goalie.
Goalie.
Oh, right now.
Yeah, you're getting pelted all the time. Not to mention, you can pull a groin muscle really easy in some of the positions that those dudes are in. And the fact that when you have a bad day, in order to save face, they pull you. They pull you off the ice. I have always thought about that. Like, it's more humiliating to give up, say, 3-4 goals and then have your coach say, all right, then, well, you can hit the showers. We can do better than you. I don't know. I've never liked that trend of pulling the goalie after he's had maybe a period and a half that are tough. I think it adds insult to the humiliation. But the toughest job in sports, whether it's coach, whether it's doctor, whether it's GM, I think quarterback is pretty damn tough. And after watching the NFL, Inside the NFL, mic'd up the Super Bowl edition, and seeing at field level what happens in the span of 2.3 seconds for Patrick Mahomes to see everything, it's moving so fast, and then take off and run through this little bitty hole. I mean, it's not always little bitty holes. Sometimes it's a bigger hole, but man, the job of quarterback, because you always draw the ire of the fans immediately. Like, that's the cop out. The quarterback sucked. The coach sucked. If a team has success, the quarterback gets way too much of the credit, but he also absorbs far too much of the blame when things go wrong. Not to mention the bazillion things that you have to process all at the same time. Hey, Ryan, look in our archives. There should be a clip of Peyton Manning talking about playing the quarterback position and why it's so tough. If you find it, let me know. I know that Jay has used it before because he kind of breaks it down. But the really funny thing is he starts with the weather. Like, of all the things that you could start with when it comes to quarterback, he starts with, you got weather. I mean, like, really? Of all the things that you could point to that make this job really challenging, and you go with, it rained? I don't know. Emmanuel Babari is here in studio. We're asking people the toughest job in sports, whether it's athlete, whether it's coach, manager, officials, team doctor we've already had a vote for. Maybe it's the person who has to clean up the stadiums after drunk people. What are the toughest jobs in sports?
I think officials, like basketball officials, I feel like you never get the good end of the stick.
And you're so visible in basketball because it's a smaller space than, say, a football field.
Right.
Where you're spread all out, and they're not wearing hats. And so they are right there front and center underneath the hoop for all the fans to deride.
And so many calls, I think, in basketball in particular, like in between foul calls, not foul calls late in games, that you could get it right and still get the vitriol of everybody
there. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So true. I've done some basketball officiating in men's leagues, like, you know, town men's leagues on Sunday afternoon. That might be worse than actual pros because they think they're headed to the pros and the next stop is the NBA. And so, yeah, I did some officiating so that it made me a better play-by-play announcer, and it is not easy.
No.
You cannot second-guess yourself or you will screw up royally.
And if you have a local town game, the people feel even more investment and you're more likely to hear from them. Because even in a huge crowd, bigger stakes, you're not directly hearing from people, but they'll come right up to you right after the game.
Oh, yeah.
A Peanut Butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
Shall I take your order, or do you need a minute?
Yes, I'll be ready. Just buying a car on Carvana.
What?
It's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do was answer a few questions.
What? That's handy.
Yeah, now I'm customizing my down and monthly payments.
What? That's an exquisite deal.
And just like that, Carvana's delivering my car in a couple days.
What?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'll have the burrito.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval. Delivery fees may apply.
Voice or displeasure.
Entitlement. The entitlement of us sports fans. All right, on Twitter, let's see. This one comes from Camilo. The toughest position in football is the center. For example, Frank Ragnow of the Detroit Lions. Oh, yeah. You not only have to be in position where you're in sync with your QB, you have to know the snap count. Of course, you can't move at all because that would be a false start. But you are at a distinct disadvantage because you have to have your hands underneath and down on the ground to snap to your quarterback, and then you have to quickly block. Then you have to protect your quarterback, but you're essentially doing it without your hands, right? So your hands are behind your back when the snap is done or when the snap is made, and then you have to turn around and block, but your hands are out of position and you are behind the eight ball. Agreed. That's a tough position in football. I'm trying to think if I think there's a... Man, kickers, I try to remind sports fans every year, multiple times, kickers are people too. They never get the credit and they always get blamed when something goes wrong. No matter how many kicks they've made in a row, when they miss one, that's it.
I was going to say kicker. But before you said officials, it got the idea into my mind, officials have it tough. Kicker, it's so hard. They make it look easy. Now, 45-yarder is considered a chip shot.
Yes.
When it never was. And when they miss one, it's over for them.
I mean, think about Jake Moody for the Niners, right? He has this incredible rookie season. Yeah. He's part of the reason why the Niners are in the position they're in. He'd earlier in the Super Bowl set the record for longest field goal made in a Super Bowl before Harrison Butker eclipsed that. And then he misses an extra point, and somehow he's the reason that they lost the game.
You can't win.
I know.
You can't win.
Toughest positions in sports, toughest jobs in sports is really what we're asking you. So on Twitter, After Hours CBS, you can use my Twitter as well. Plus our Facebook page and send your questions for Ask Amy Anything.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
.12:38 to go. Cross court, Baylor. Baylor to the baseline. Baylor, wraparound pass into the corner. Mason for three! Yes, sir! And a back slap from Matt! The second 5 points bank three-pointer, Mason Miller. Jays back up by 21. Timeout! And Frank McDermott says, get on your feet! And ladies and gentlemen, as S, a steal by Bello. And this is it. It's a career achievement unlocked. A first ever win versus number one. A career achievement unlocked. The 600th Jays win for Greg McDermott. And the students mob the floor.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This loss by UConn is a stunner. The number one team in the country, right on the heels of the Huskies getting a unanimous vote for the number one team in men's college basketball. And then the Huskies head into Omaha to face a Creighton team that they had shellacked earlier in the season. Actually, not that long ago. And in Omaha, lackadaisical defense combined with the red-hot Blue Jays, who go 14 of 28 from beyond the arc, so 50% from three-point land. They build a double-figure lead in the first half, and they do not relinquish. And I'm not saying Creighton is a bad team. They're not. This was their 20th win. They've got double-figure wins inside the Big East. But they led by 23 points about midway through the second half. Their defense was impeccable. Even when they were up big, they were holding the defending champs scoreless, possession after possession. So they were defending and rebounding. And every time the Huskies would make a push and do a little barking, Creighton would respond. So this ends the Huskies' 14-game win streak, which was the longest active streak in D1. And it comes not just on the heels of a unanimous number one ranking, but if you're following college hoops, you know that UConn trounced the number four team in the country by nearly 30 points earlier this week. So they go from beating a top-ranked team, a top-five team, soundly, and then getting that number one ranking by unanimous vote, only to then lose against Creighton on the road and watch the Blue Jays fans storm the court in their honor. One of the downfalls for Dan Hurley and his team, they go 3 of 16 from beyond the arc. So could not shoot and did not do a great job defending the arc either.
We did a bad job coaching tonight. Our players did a bad job playing. I did a bad job coaching. Yeah, and your huddles aren't going to be super energized when you're in, you haven't lost in 2+ months.
Well, that's a problem. You have no energy because you haven't lost in 2+ months. I would think there would be a ton of energy because you just got voted the unanimous number one. I would think you'd want to protect that ranking. But I suppose what he's saying is there's some complacency or some overconfidence in that they didn't believe Creighton had what it would take to upset them. Now, the Blue Jays actually did fall into an early hole, but once they got comfortable, once they found their stroke from deep, it was a different story. And honestly, this is the beauty of sports. Not only did Creighton fall into a bit of a hole early, but their leading scorer was on the bench with foul trouble, and they still were able to take advantage of the Huskies losing, their star center, and put together this huge first half run that they protected the rest of the way. I mean, they do, again, they do have some really nice sharpshooters, some great shooters, and they are a 21 club. But this is the first time they'd ever beaten a number one team. John Bishop with the call on the Creighton Radio Network. On Twitter, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, or After Hours CBS, as they say. On Facebook, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What is the toughest job in sports? Is it being the head coach of the team that has the bullseye on its back all the time? Because that's Dan Hurley, right? They are the number one team in the country. They're the defending national champs. They are a favorite to repeat. And what just happened?
This doesn't happen to us very often. So, yeah, I mean, we were definitely stunned. We knew this was a dangerous game and a quality opponent and one of the better teams in the country. But we didn't expect this to happen.
Ha! I mean, I guess that's an accurate statement. We didn't expect this to happen. But the whole idea about not having energy and not being up for this game, you're on the road. Plus, you know you're facing a veteran coach in Greg McDermott, who has now turned around this Creighton program. And yeah, huge win for them as they boost their tournament resume.
Historic game for our program. You know, I told the team in the locker room, we had Marcus Foster in there and Ryan Hawkins are back there on break from overseas. And it's really a culmination of a lot of work by a lot of people over a long period of time to give these guys the opportunity to wear this uniform and play in front of the crowd we were able to play in front of tonight.
Congratulations to the Creighton Blue Jays. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. What is the toughest job in sports? Let's talk to Chris, who's in Baltimore. Chris, what do you think?
Hi, how are you? Yeah, okay. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you.
I think a catcher in Major League Baseball is the toughest position. And, you know, they got to put on the equipment to stay, you know, from being hit and all the foul balls, even the umpire. Understands when the ball player, when he gets smacked by that foul ball or a tip, what have you, he will walk around, he talks to him, he'll dust off the plate, he'll buy him some time because he knows he just took a shot, you know. And when you got 95-mile-an-hour fastball coming at you every pitch, every time, I think that's the toughest position in sports.
I like that answer. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate you listening.
All right, you have a great day.
Catcher is tough, as Chris points out. It's very physical, which is why you have some athletes who've played catcher their whole lives. And forget the beating that you take from the fastballs that come in, that hit you in the chest, knock you over. But how about your knees? Your knees, after your career, have got to be in agony, right? So catcher is physical. It's dirty. You get hit with bats and balls, and it's nonstop. And then you're in that crouch position, right, where you are constantly putting extra pressure on your knees, also your back. It's not for the faint of heart. I played pretty much every position in softball. I didn't love every position in softball. I wasn't great in the outfield. I had a real strong arm, but I don't have great depth perception. And so I didn't love playing the outfield. But I played all the infield positions and I pitched. The one position I would never play was catcher. I am not getting back there where you can get hit in the head with a bat. I refuse. And I've got friends who have been hit in the head with bats before and got concussions. No, it's not worth it. No way. Not going back there to get pelted. Nope. So catcher, a physical position. Kicker, not so physical. But is it the toughest job in sports because there is zero glory in it, unless you're Justin Tucker or Harrison Butker, I suppose, and he has the name to go along with it. What is the toughest job in sports? I'm just now putting up a post on Facebook. I know some of you are answering on our post for Ask Amy Anything, so send your questions there. Also send them to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and we'll get back to your calls coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, 1 hour down, CBS Sports Radio.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.